who we came to faith together, as it were. And I can still say, after years, that when I think of them still going on, still continuing on in the faith, my heart does something, and I thank God for them when I remember their faith and their love for Jesus and their love for the people that they have. Well, we've got to be looking tonight at Paul's priorities for prayer, but I wanted first to just do a quick bit of basic groundwork, if you like. And it's really because we've just finished, just before Christmas, a really great Alpha. There's nobody else here, is there, apart from Chris, who was there at it. And I just really wanted to say, just encourage you to bring your friends along to an Alpha. I assume we're having another one. When? Not waiting till September, are we? No, he doesn't know when we're having another. We will be having another Alpha at some stage.
Yes.
Okay.
Possibly the morning, but.
Oh, right, okay, a morning one. Well, when there's another evening one or a morning one, bring friends along. It's just been such a really great thing to be involved in and to see people coming who really want to have questions answered. But anyway, during the Alpha, we had the normal evening on prayer. I can't actually remember who did the talk, but I was reminded again of the basic rule. And again, over Christmas, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, what was the basic rule that we learned in Alpha? How many have done Alpha here? So you can tell me the basic, the kind of rule that they have, can you? I was thinking, can you, anybody know it? I was thinking it was A, B, C. That's what was in my head. So I knew A was adoration, and I knew C was confession. Yes. What on earth does B stand for? But it isn't A, B, C. It's not A, B, C at all. So don't remember A, B, C, remember A, C, T, S. Actually, have you got the PowerPoint there? Which may come up shortly. Not ABC, but ACTS. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And I was just reminded again, really looking at my own prayer life too, how quickly we rush through to asking for things, to supplication. I know I'm tempted to do that. But it's adoration first. Adoration first. Confession second. Thanksgiving third. And all of those three things are doing what? Trying to put ourselves in line with God. Trying to get ourselves in tune with where God is at, with what he wants for us. So when we are then in line, then the asking for things maybe looks a bit different. So let's just take another quick detour then and see if Jesus in his own schema of prayer had the same thing. He taught the disciples how to pray. What was the first line? You know, our Father in heaven. There's the adoration. Hallowed be your name. More glorifying him. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. May your will be done. Not our will. Not what we want. Not please can you give us. Your will be done. I guess that prayer more than anything else gives us the priority in prayer. Our priority in prayer. So we don't just ask for the red car or the job we want, or for me at the moment that my elbow will get better so that I can carry on playing table tennis this year, but that we ask for things that are in line with his will and purpose. What's next in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. Well, that's nice, isn't it? Supplication, asking things before confession. But note what the supplication, note what the asking for things is. Give us this day our daily bread. The sustenance we need for each day. Nothing more, nothing less. Not please give us full pension rights. Not please give us security, give us health, power, wealth. Just the sustenance, Lord, please, for each day. And that's actually the only pure, straightforward supplication, as it were, in the Lord's Prayer, which is a bit sobering, isn't it? If we maybe compare it with our own prayer lives. So then I suppose there's a request to forgive us our sins. I guess that's supplication, but that's confession too, as we forgive others. Only let's make sure we do forgive others. Please don't lead us into temptation. Deliver us from evil. So there's a supplicatory prayer, I guess, to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Not, please give me a car parking space tonight, but please deliver me from evil this night. And the prayer, as you know, I'm sure, finishes with adoration and praise again. So now let's come to Ephesians and let's see how Paul measures up. And we've put Bibles out. Someone very kindly put Bibles out for us. You might want to have Ephesians chapter 1 open, page 1109, 1108, if you want to follow it. As we already said, Paul starts, ever since I heard about your faith, I haven't stopped thanking God for you. But then he asks God four things for his new Christian friends, these friends in Ephesus. And what is it he keeps asking? Verse 17, let's look at that first. This is what he asks. I want to just pause there, actually, and say, if you've got new Christian friends, I don't know whether you have or not, but what's the thing that you'd want to pray for them for? What would you most want, without looking, you know, without cheating and looking, what would you most want for them? What would you most want to pray for them? Paul says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may God give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? Why does Paul ask that? I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. That's why. Not a prayer for peace, not a prayer for harmony, not a prayer for healing. Here's Paul's priority in prayer, for wisdom. Wisdom, not wisdom to pass exams or to know what to do in a situation, but that the Ephesians might know God better. It's the first and greatest of Paul's priorities in prayer. And so let me just repeat again, if you didn't hear it the first time, because I'm aware I said it quickly. When we know God better, when we're more in line with him, then other things fall into place. So what next in verse 18? That you might know the hope to which he has called you. I pray, Paul says, that you Ephesians will know the hope to which he has called you. As some of you know, I've said it before in the evening, I've been trying to learn sign language, hence my hands sometimes do things. And I'd forgotten a little while ago what the sign for hope was, and I thought it was that. I hope for things. But Nick said, no, that's not the sign for hope. Do you know what the sign for hope is? You did it this morning quite a lot if you were there. This is the sign for hope. And I thought, I'm not sure I like that. Because this is the sign for the lottery. And this is not the kind of hope that Paul is talking about. Oh, I hope I will, you know, million to one chance of winning the lottery. No, I guess it is across the heart. But I prefer this. It's a sure thing is hope. It's not just a hopeful hope something might happen. There is a debate, if you fancy reading the commentaries, as to what Paul is actually emphasising here. Is it the hope or the call that is actually the key thing of this sentence? The hope to which he has called you. But for me, I think God calls all of us. He calls all of us. But what he calls us to is a sure and certain hope. So in verse 19, what's the third thing? Paul prays that the Ephesians will know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. So let's just pause and think about that a little bit as well. Think of a friend as you sit there now. And think about praying that prayer for them. Insert their name into the prayer. Please God, may my friend, May they know the power, the imaginably great power that they have, because they know you. So as I stand here tonight, I pray that you, James, that you, Chris, that you, Steve, you might know the power that you have because you believe. Paul tells us that that power, this power that we have because we are Christians, is the same power, exactly the same power that raised Jesus from death. That's the power we're talking about. I was thinking about that again this afternoon. So easy, once, like, maybe you're not the same as me, but I've been a Christian now since I was 15, so I won't say how many years that is, long time, and we talk about, you know, Jesus died and he rose again, and we all sing, and hallelujah, and he rose again. Death, that final thing, that thing that we actually can do nothing about, God's power came in, turned it around. God's power broke the power of death. Jesus rose again. That's the power we're talking about. That's the power that Paul is talking about here. I pray that you might know his incomparably great power for us. The power is the same that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. More than that, and seated him at the right hand of the Father. It's no surprise, is it, that Paul's priority, if you like, in prayer ends with just another paean of praise at the end of this chapter. God placed all things under his feet, appointed him head over everything. His words just start to tumble out of him as they did at the beginning of the chapter. When we align ourselves with God's will, his kingdom here on earth, then we can know the incredibly great power that is ours in Christ Jesus. My time is just about up. I want to just give you one illustration as I finish. You might think it's a bit of a weird illustration. I hope I haven't given it before. I had a friend a couple of years back who was dying. If I've told you this before, forgive me. She'd been trapped in the living death of Alzheimer's for 8 years. And she was in a home. And she'd had a stroke as well, so she couldn't see, she couldn't speak, she couldn't hear, she couldn't think. Her husband went and visited her in the end only weekly because he said, I don't know for whose benefit I go. She doesn't know who I am. She doesn't know I am here. The only thing she reacts to is the smell of chocolate. It's the only thing she reacted to. 8 years. And it was a Sunday, Easter Sunday afternoon. I actually felt an overwhelming urge to pray for her. Her name was Eve. And I've got the time, I've got the space. I feel you're telling me, God, to pray for her. So what do I pray? What do I pray? For her healing? What do I pray? The only place I felt I could go to, can you skip forward, I don't know, to the Jesus prayer. That's the only place I could go to, the Jesus prayer. The Jesus prayer, which an ancient prayer of the saints, if you like. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I prayed that for Eve, for I can't tell you how long. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on Eve, have mercy. That's all I had in me to pray. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. And after a while I felt it was time to stop, and I stopped praying. And I heard the next day, Alan phoned me up and she had died. And it didn't surprise me to find she had died at the time I felt it was right to stop praying. Why do I tell you that? Not to puff me up at all, but to illustrate that we serve and worship a God who wants to communicate with us. And we serve a God whose power is one of mercy. Our God is a God of mercy. We are able, because we are Christians, to pray mercy into people's lives. I'm also telling you that story just so that, really to illustrate that you don't have to pray. I'm sure most of us have been Christians here a long time, and you know this. We don't have to pray long and involved and complicated prayers with long and beautiful sounding words and phrases that are nicely, you know, finished off and all this kind of thing. No, it's sometimes enough to say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, put him where he is. Have mercy. Have mercy. May we continue then to know the incomparably great power that is ours in Christ Jesus. I thought, would it be right if we prayed the disciples' prayer as we finish together? Let's pray, if you could go back, sorry, to the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer. Let's just pray this and maybe just pause after, rather than just rip through it as we so often do. Let's just read a sentence and pause for a bit and then read the next sentence. Let's pray this prayer as we were taught to pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, the sustenance we need for this day. Our Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours, God, is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.